If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am fortunate tonight to be joined by Matt Stevens, the Illini staff writer who covers all things football, along with almost everything else that we can throw his direction. And we have the director of recruiting for Illini guys, Kedrick Prince, on the line as well. And we are talking Illini football. Matt, today you had an opportunity to talk to the quarterbacks. And certainly with Tommy DeVito coming on board, fans are curious about him. Art Sikowski and his health, fans are really, you know, wanting to know, did we even see the, air quotes, real Art Sikowski last year? Or do we have a chance of seeing him this year? So, Matt, give us some of your thoughts on Mr. DeVito.
Well, he's still not lacking for confidence, anything that he's ever done in his entire life. Tommy is filled with what Isaiah Williams talked to me at Big Ten Media Day is with swagger. I mean, it's very, very clear that he's won the locker room, which is what you have to do when you're an immediately eligible transfer from another program. And I do think the spring that he was able to take every first team rep while he's trying to learn Barry Lunny's offense was very, very beneficial. Everybody needs to understand something is that Tommy didn't come here to run Barry's offense. And Barry really and I don't mean to say that in the way that Tommy's not interested in running it. It's just Tommy was sold on a completely different offense by the time that he signed with Illinois. And then Barry Lunny Jr. got hired. And I do think they're going to run something significantly different than what he was doing at Syracuse in terms of philosophy, but he's had to basically relearn a new offense again because Barry comes in the spring and he's got to relearn a new offense. So he's been pretty diligent about that. And so from Tommy's perspective, I think he's done everything he possibly can on and off the field to win the job come August 27th.
Ked, any thoughts on Mr. DeVito? I know you have a whole set of different sources than Matt or I have.
Well, I'll tell you what, he didn't just win the team over early. When his first interview, his first press conference, I mean, you can tell he's an older guy. He won me over right away. He's just really, really, he's older. He's much more mature. He's been there. He's done that. You know, he's seen it all. He reminds me of the Jacob Grandison of the men's basketball team because, you know, when you interview him, I mean, there's nothing you can say that's going to faze them. But I do like the fact that he is confident. And I think you have to be that way, but he's not even cocky. There's some humor with it. From what I've been told, and like you said, you know, we all have a few different sources and things like that. And I mean, they wish they had him for 2 years. Because he's making throws and doing things that they haven't had at Illinois in a long time. And, you know, I it's going to be good to see, you know, the offense is, you know, I don't know. I mean, we can go back and look at film or what Barry Lunny Jr. did before. It may be different. It may be a little bit different this year at Illinois because it may be different personnel. Who knows? But I don't think they're going to, you know, throw the ball 80 times a game. But I don't think he's going to sit there and hand the ball off 45 times and him not throw it because that's kind of a waste. This kid has a good arm. He's strong and he's been there before. And his confident level and hitting receivers, I mean, there's a video out there that I'm sure you know, probably half the listeners have seen. You know, he threw a 60-yard bomb over the left shoulder on the money, and it was with ease. And, you know, granted, we've seen that before, and it's got to translate to games, so I get that. But I think having a guy this confident and a guy this older, this is perfect. This is exactly what Illinois needs.
Well, we've seen that before, Ked. The problem is I was 25. But the question that I have for you, Matt, is – so we know Tommy DeVito, you know, he was busy on Saturday afternoons last year. But does the reputation and the accomplishment of the UTSA offense that Barry Lunny was in charge of, we realize they're not going to run that offense for Coach Bielma. But does that type of accomplishment and that type of resume, does that give Mr. DeVito, you know, some maybe a little bit of additional respect for his new offensive coordinator? How do you think that is in the mind of Tommy?
You know, you ask Tommy a question, you always get an honest answer. And we asked him in the spring and he said, hey, look, he didn't ask for me and I didn't ask for him, but this is what we're, I mean, and it's not like I'm pissed about this. It's like, this is life. This is, you know, I get put into a situation with somebody I've never met before. I've got to make this work because, you know, 10 years down the line and whatever line of work I'm doing, it's probably going to be a similar situation. And I think that Barry, I don't know if Barry's resume, I don't know if Tommy knew anything about Barry's resume, believe it or not, you know, being a Jersey guy and not really being familiar, I'm sure, with Arkansas high school football, like, you know, and the legend that is his dad, Barry Sr.
Yep.
What drew Tommy basically, and I'll say this about a whole bunch of guys in this locker room, what has drawn everybody and I think gotten a lot of people bought into Barry is the idea that he just has this aura about him, and his personality just allows everybody to go, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, immediately, this guy, you know, knows what he's talking about, and has an ability to translate it verbally in a matter of minutes to college kids that just have never seen this kind of offense or have a lot of questions, or, you know, the way that he deals with his quarterbacks is just to constantly chatter them. Like, he is the one talking. And so there's a lot of, it was funny because you've got two Jersey guys and an Arkansas guy walks in the room, and you got these two Jersey guys looking at each other, like Art and Tommy in the meeting rooms going, what the hell did he just say? Like, and Tommy's not shy. Like, let's just be real about this. Like, I'm sure that he raised his hand and went, coach, what the hell did you just say? Like, so I think Tommy and him have a really good relationship. I think they have a good rapport. I think the spring did them a lot of good simply from a communication and a chemistry standpoint. And now it's like, again, like he's the old high school coach. Barry's going to re-implement and reinstall this offense because now, you know, they're splitting reps with Tommy and Art, for the sole purpose that Illinois will start the 2022 season with two quarterbacks that have 10 plus starts in their career. And I don't know how many Power Five programs can say that, especially in the transfer portal era.
Yeah. And the nice thing is Illinois didn't have to get a language translator so that they could translate Arkansas into New Jersey for people to understand and back and forth.
Or vice versa, yeah. But yeah. To translate the Jersey to Barry's Arkansas twang, I don't know if it works both ways either.
Yeah, no, that's good. Ked, what have you heard about Coach Lunny and how the team is responding, at least on the offensive side of the ball, to this new coordinator?
I want to comment on what Matt said, and I think it's really unique. You know, I was kind of excited to hear him talk about how they respond to in the locker room. I'm going to go back to my coaching days, and this is kind of like why I think the locker room and why I think this team is going to be successful. I mean, we've all talked about it before on message boards and to each other. You know, when I coach younger kids, you could tell them anything and they would believe it. It's just, it is what it is. Then they got older, and kids know, especially at that level, if you know what the hell you're talking about. He can't come in there and just blow smoke to these kids and think, okay, they're going to believe it. these kids have been around. They're not all freshmen. There's juniors and seniors. So it's going to be a much easier sale because they're going to say, hey, this is why it works. Because one thing you have to do when you coach kids, because I coach high school and I coach AAU basketball, you have to be able, you can tell them something, but you have to show them how this is going to be successful. This is why it's going to work. This is why you have to block this tackle. This is why, you know, you have to make this read. This is why you have to run this route and throw the ball over the right shoulder, left shoulder, whatever it is. Because if you can't teach that, the kids are going to know. And this is one thing that I can honestly tell you that, like, from my understanding, like, it's not that it was different before. The locker room was great last year. You know, the three of us went to Josh Whitman's roundtable. And if you guys remember, that was one of the things Josh said to us. Usually they have exit meetings with all these seniors. And this was one of the most positive ones he's ever had, ever, since he's been there in Illinois. And that's tough to do with that many kids, you know, on one team. So having said that, to answer your question, Mike, I just think long-term, you know, the wins come, everything else is in place. Facilities, coaches, they're all good with the media. They're all, you know, all the coaches are good. I think they're going to turn some heads with less talent because of a system. One of the things that I like, and I think that's why Barry was hired. They're not just going to be one-dimensional. They're going to stick with what they do best, but they're not going to lose a game because they're just going to run the ball and because they can't throw it.
Right, right. Well, it is, like I said, I think the other thing that, you know, when you know a coach or a coach has a good relationship with the head coach, that also has some intrinsic value. May not be quite so tangible, but Coach Lunny, you know, working with Coach B at Arkansas has to translate to have a little bit of a understanding of what he's looking for. And probably also gives you a level of comfort as opposed to maybe panic when Coach B is maybe applying a little bit of pressure. Or what do you think on that one, Matt?
I thought the idea that Brett was going to hire two coordinators at Illinois right off the bat that he had really never worked with before was really dumb. I don't mean to, like, Brett's been doing this a hell of a lot longer than I've ever been covering it. That made no sense to me whatsoever. Now, it works out great with Ryan Walters because, quite frankly, Ryan Walters is a star. Yeah. And he's going to be a head coach someday. It did not work out with Tony Peterson because, again, when you haven't worked with somebody before, the communication just breaks down. And then, I think Brett understood that was the mistake that he made. So he had to go back to his connections and go, okay, this is what I want to do offensively. You know, who is going to be able to understand what I want to do offensively and how to make it work in 2022? And Barry is that guy, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. In a perfect world, Barry Lunny Jr. would do exactly what his dad did and just coach high school. He just has that mentality of teacher. He has that mentality of, you know, I'm fundamental, 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 fundamental. And it's very, very strange, guys, how at the high school level and even and at the college level, you know, the teams that have better fundamentals and the teams that are fundamentally sound still always usually win. And I think that Barry understands that there's going to be an adjustment period, and there's going to be some things that need to be, you know, there's going to be some wrinkles. You've said it before perfectly, Mike. They're not going to run the UTSA offense here. That is Jeff Traylor's offense. But I think the genius of Barry is that he was able to take Jeff Traylor's offense and go, okay, here's how I know how we can run the football, because I did that at Arkansas. And I have a 5'9.5" quarterback that needs to get the ball out of his hands really, really quick. And we need to whitewash his limitations in Frank Harris, an incredibly athletic 5'9.5" quarterback, but we got to figure out a way to do that. And I think that when the talent level goes up, when you're now the offensive coordinator at Illinois, you don't have to whitewash some of the limitations of your quarterback, because Tommy Levito has arm talent and Art Sitkowski has arm talent too. And we're going to get to that, but, like, he's got two guys that I think he thinks can make, if not most, you know, at least, yeah, most of the throws that he's going to ask him to do in this offense.
So let's take a step back. I mean, I actually you know, we don't, at Illini Guys, we don't spend a lot of time going after kids. We may say, hey, I'd like to see him make this choice or that choice, but we don't go after anybody. But I do admit that there, we had some frustration even sitting up in the booth, seeing some open, you know, wide receivers streaking down the field. And I understand that, you know, the Illini did not want to turn his shoulder into a target for opposing teams to turn into hamburger. So I understand why they didn't tell us. But there's a whole lot of people in the media, probably on both sides, you know, both the Illini media and other Big Ten media, who probably would have rephrased things quite a bit different if they understood the extent of injury he was playing with as he played last year. And I talk about Art Sikowski, where he wasn't making those throws because he couldn't. And we didn't understand that. So what are you hearing about his health, Matt?
100%. I mean, there's no medical device on his arm. There's no, he's not wearing anything extra protective on his right shoulder. Everything medically that was done. Okay, so he breaks his arm in the Penn State game. And this staff immediately decided you're going to have two surgeries within the matter of a month.
Yep.
And the first surgery was correcting the broken arm. The second surgery was correcting the shoulder, the right shoulder. We're just going to get that taken care of because you're never going to play another game the rest of the season. And so that allowed them to have months and months of rehab before Art has to, you know, do what he's doing now, which is taking first team reps in fall camp. Mike, you're talking about the physical with Art, and it's very, very important because I do agree with you. I also think there was no benefit in telling the media what Art Sitkowski and them talked about in August from a schematic standpoint, because if you're a defensive coordinator and you know that Art Sitkowski can't zip a deep ball, you're going to walk 8 and 9 guys up to the line of scrimmage and play press man coverage. You always are.
Yep.
Now they were going to do that once they saw film anyway, probably of the Nebraska game. But like, I'll tell you the one that caught me was we're sitting there in the opener and it got called back because Scott Frost's guys aren't very, very, you know, fundamentally sound, but he throws a pick to Cam Taylor Britt that just floated and didn't look like a Power Five conference throw. And it gets called back, luckily, but that was the first indication of, I'm like, he's either really, really tentative or there's something wrong. And the second thing I want to talk about is mental, because you've identified, and we've all identified the physical. The mental is where I'll make the statement that I don't think anybody in college football has seen what Art Sitkowski actually is yet. And the reason I say that is because I think Chris Ash did the most coaching malpractice I've ever seen with a young man that ever happened at Rutgers. Art Sitkowski is one of the first ever in Rutgers history true freshman to start at quarterback. He had no business doing that. The reason was is because he's a 4-star top 10 pro style quarterback coming out of high school, coming out of IMG. And Chris Ash, who I actually think is a really, really good coach, but Chris Ash was trying to save his job at Rutgers.
Yep.
And so he decided to play the kid. And he opened up with Nebraska and, or I'm sorry, he opened up with Ohio State and throws 4 picks in that game. And had absolutely no business playing, you know, that many snaps and actually even playing as I don't think starting as a true freshman. And his touchdown interception ratio shows it. I mean, he did nothing but throw interceptions and lose confidence. And so by the time that Illinois got him as a transfer from Rutgers, he had to be rebooted mentally. And because all he knew was everything I've done is wrong. And right. So I think the surgeries have helped him. I think he told me Tuesday night when we got him after the fourth practice, he's been able to make throws that I don't think he's been able to make since 2018. And the fact of the matter is that as an athlete, when you can do something you haven't done in that long a period of time and it just kind of comes back, there's just a mental component of not only confidence, but now it's fun again. Now I'm playing a sport that's now fun again. And I think there's so much that Illinois has in Art Sitkowski that I think is so valuable, because Mike, you and I both sat right next to each other in that press box at Memorial Stadium, and Brandon Peters goes down in the first quarter of Brett Bielema's opener and Illinois still beat Nebraska on national television because Art Sitkowski was ready for the moment. And now you got a fully healthy Art Sitkowski with an offensive line that I think is going to be better than people think. And I think he could be very, very effective in whatever role that Illinois wants him to be. I do not think he's going to be the starting quarterback on August 27th, but even if that is the case, I think he has the intangibles and now the tangibles of what you need in a quarterback if and when Illinois needs to call upon him.
Ked, what do you think about Mr. Sitkowski?
Well, I felt bad. I mean, because I know the coaching staff at any university would have done what Illinois did last year was protect the kid, and that's what they should do.
Yep.
I mean, I think me, I'm not going to say I didn't do it because I did. I'm going to own it. Was very critical of him and his play. And I know Matt had talked about before, you know, with his former coach at Rutgers, Chris Arthur, just throwing him to the wolves. And I'm thinking, okay, is this kid really that good or is he really that bad? Because then I thought, okay, Illinois is just getting a guy that's older. And seriously, this is really bad to say. He's just a backup guy in case somebody gets hurt. But one thing I noticed from this year, even the last year, he's gotten bigger. He's gotten bigger. His neck is bigger. His arms are bigger. He looks different. And what I feel really bad for the kid for, because I think if he's healthy, he's a good enough quarterback to start in the Big Ten. But like Matt just said, he probably won't win that job. And, you know, because, I mean, it's a good situation to have two guys like that on your roster. I don't think, you know, Tommy's going to come in with the idea of probably sharing time with him, but I don't know. I mean, we've not seen him on the field, but he you know, he said today or yesterday, he's 100%, you know. And granted, they told us that last year. They didn't say he was hurt, but not that anything was wrong, because I know kids lie, but it's different. I really think, because they're not, like Matt said, there's nothing on his shoulder. He's not holding anything back. And I think, personally, knowing him, he's a little bit different than Tommy. But I think he's going there with the mindset that he can win the job. And maybe he could be good enough to win the job. Because at some point, every quarterback, every team's going to have a quarterback where they're going to be missing some games. Or not a game, or a couple series. It's just happened. I don't know the last time a team's had a quarterback that's gone through a full season without some kind of minor injury where they didn't have to go to their backup at some point in time, whether it be just one game or one quarter. So we're going to probably hopefully get a chance to see what he does and how good he is. And I hope when he gets that chance, they don't do what all of the coaches do, hand the ball off and run it the whole time. Let him be who he is. If he's 100% healthy and they want to throw it, let him do it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see teams trying to play him like they did last year when he was hurt. He might be able to get take advantage of that. So we're kind of ran through the two main men. Anything else on the rest of that the quarterbacks? I know Donovan Leary comes in with a heck of a personality as well. What else do you have for us there, Matt?
There's two quarterbacks that are, you know, deep in the depth chart right now as freshmen that I think is going to be an interesting battle come 2024, because they're going to be given time to learn, and that's Donovan Leary and Kirkland McHugh. And Kirkland McHugh's story is pretty interesting. We're talking about a kid that played JUCO baseball for a couple years, is 21 years old, even though he's a true freshman, played at Blinn Junior College, which Cam Newton attended, and played football. Kirkland did not play football at Blinn. You're basically, you know, he tore his knee up his senior year. Tore his knee up early in his high school career. And so it really affected his recruitment. But beat out a five-star rated signee in the 2022 class from Clemson, even though that kid was a sophomore at the time, at Austin Westlake High School in Texas, and won a state championship there. So as far as preferred walk-ons go, 6'5", 230 can play. And he's an interesting preferred walk-on that I certainly think is going to get a look here down the road in Brett Bielema's program, in a similar way to the way that I feel like Jeff Brohm felt about Aiden O'Connell when he got to Purdue and said, you know, I know this kid's a walk-on, but I'm going to give him a shot here when everything kind of situates with my quarterback spot. But Donovan Leary, you know, is a kid that arrived in July after getting some private tutoring this summer, and really needs to learn the offense. but he's already making throws that I think are impressing this coaching staff, even as a true freshman, even in the third string, you know, developmental periods that they're doing.
Yep.
And I can't stress to you the idea that I really have this belief, and I said it on signing day, that I think Donovan Leary is going to be a heck of a lot better player now that he has other better players around him. Because his high school program, I've said it before, I'll say it again, at Timber Creek High School, did not do him any disservice. And if he had come out of Don Brasco prep, I don't know if he's here at Illinois. Right. And so that, I think, is when you can elevate your talent level because the guys around you are better. I think that you're going to start to see, you know, everything that Donovan does plays. And I'm not saying he's the same guy, because mom and dad and older brother and even Donovan would hate for me to say this. But his older brother is trying to win a Heisman Trophy at NC State and be a number one first round draft pick. And Devin is not the same kid as Donovan. I want to state that again, but that plays. And I think that Donovan has the same kind of physical traits of his older brother, and he's going to get a lot of time to develop. And I think that Brett Bielema and Barry Lunney is going to give him that time.
Excellent. Ked, any thoughts on the rest of the quarterbacks?
Well, yeah, today when Bielema was asked about the quarterbacks, I mean, obviously everybody talked about Art and Tommy, but Brett didn't hesitate to say Donovan. He is going to be good. I mean, you can tell. And I think he's going to play a big, important role with it, because Brett would have just obviously just commented on those two. He threw that name in there. So, you know, long term, I think Illinois is going to be okay from a quarterback standpoint. And you know what? You know, he's going to get to learn, and which is good for every freshman. It's been done before. Obviously has been. It's been done at Clemson and other schools. But it takes a really, really special kid to come in and take over an offense as a freshman to run it. And I'm just glad right now that Illinois is not in that situation anymore. I mean, can you imagine right now trying to, after, you know, winning, going 5-7 last year and then coming out with a true freshman and expecting to win Big Ten games? I mean, we just talked about that with Art. I mean, that's tough to do. I mean, some kids have and some don't, but to answer your question, I just think, you know, coming out of high school, like I said, and they want pro-style quarterbacks. You know, he looks good on film. I've not heard anything about him as far as what he's done in practice, but it did catch my eye today when Brett was asked about two quarterbacks, and he was quick to throw his name up in there as well.
Yeah, that's always good, and it's kind of a nice situation, you know, for a kid to know that the coach is talking about him like that and makes him feel good. Matt, any closing thoughts here as we kind of wrap it up for Illini fans, and we'll have another podcast later in the week?
I'll tell you the one thing about the quarterbacks to finish up that really impresses me, I kind of wrap it around all the skill guys. And I think this may upset Kat a little bit, but every skill guy has basically come up to me and said, you realize we're going to run the ball and we're going to do it a lot. You get that, right? Like, it's almost like they're preaching to the media. And you got skill guys that may see their value and may see their worth as, how many targets am I getting? How many throws am I getting? You know, and you got Tommy DeVito literally standing there going, you know, I wouldn't mind handing the ball to a running back and, you know, trying to save a quarterback's life every now and again. I mean, I have heard so many people around the DeVito camp saying, my God, if they could have run the ball at all at Syracuse or protected me at all at Syracuse, I think I'd still be there. And so there is a buy-in to what Barry Lunney wants to do, and there's a buy-in to what Brett Bielema wants to do. And part of what Brett Bielema and Barry Lunney want to do is physically pound you with guys like Chase Brown and guys like Josh McCray. And I think that there's an embracement of from the quarterbacks, and not only the quarterbacks, but the wide receivers, that this has got to be a total team effort here. And, you know, running play-action passes – you know, after we dominate on first and second down in the run game is probably not the worst idea for Illinois to be doing.
Yeah, or the greatest swerve of all time is Brett Bielema comes out and turns into Mike Leach part two. Somehow I don't see that's happening, but you know, there's a small segment of the Illini fan base that can still hope.
I don't think that Brett Bielema will ignore the run game at any point in his entire football life. Let's just put it that way.
If he did, we, you know, people would be out, like, you know, dabbing his forehead, taking a temperature, making sure he's okay. Cat, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, Matt, I don't think they're going to throw the ball 60 times. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like that. My thing is, I know Brett, and that's what he's going to do, and that's what made him successful. And at his age, 50 years old, he's not going to change. My thing is, I think they missed opportunities last year where they probably would have thrown the ball. Now, maybe it was Tony Peterson. Maybe it was Brett saying, hey, don't do this. Or maybe the kids weren't healthy. I don't know. But last year, they couldn't. Last year, I think it cost them games because sometimes, and I'm not going to sit here because I know we're about to close the show and go over every game when it's, you know, first and second down, you know, you got nothing, and then it's a passing down. You just want a guy that can make a throw. They needed a Big Ten Division I Power 5 quarterbacks. So when I talk about throwing the football, that's what I mean. Just make the routine plays. You run a cross pattern, not throwing the ball at people's feet or throwing in double coverage, you know, to feel comfortable. Because we all know, I don't care if it's Brett Bielema, Shauna Green, or Brad Underwood, they're not going to throw their kids under a bus, and nor should they, or any coach like that. But if the kid can't make the throw, and you know, they're not going to sit and be critical of the guy. They're just going to blame something and give us coaches beat. There was times last year where I knew they probably would have thrown the ball, and Brandon just couldn't do it. I mean, he wasn't good, and if he was good and he was on, I think the game changed. I tell you what, I know what I saw last year. I was totally fine with it, but I just know me personally, and Mike, you're right, we're not going to throw a kid under a bus. I just don't think he was good enough to do what they needed in certain games. They lost games to me that I think Rutgers, and especially at Purdue, that if you had any kind of quarterback that could just make any kind of just basic Big Ten fundamental plays to give your team a chance, they win those games. Now I think they have two healthy guys that can do that.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that. And, of course, you know, for those Illini guy fans who really like to hear, you know, Matt and Ked and Brad and the rest of the crew, a couple ways you can hear them. First off, Matt and Ked are on darn near every episode of the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, along with myself, Larry Smith, and Brad Sturdy. And, you know, beyond that show, which you can go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can find all the stations that carry that two-hour weekly radio show. You can find the city, you can find the station and the frequency and what time and what day they have it on. It'll either be on a Friday, a Saturday, and there's one place that has it on Sundays, and you can find it and tune in. All we ask you to do is go ahead and please call up the station and thank them for having us on. It means a big deal. You can also hear Ked on Ked's Recruiting Roundup. That's his podcast that basically takes the recruiting podcast and flips it on its head, and you hear what the kids are dealing with, what their parents are dealing with, and what their coaches are dealing with during the recruiting process. So it's kind of the reverse of what you hear on a lot of other podcasts. And, of course, Brad Sturdy, the other Illini guy, he has Sturdy for 30, his award-winning podcast that started it all. That one is available as well. All those are available on the podcast. And, of course, what fuels everything is IlliniGuys.com. That is the number one website and fastest-growing Illini coverage website. It'll keep you up on everything going on. Our latest person to jump on board is Mike Farrell. Yeah, that Mike Farrell, the godfather of recruiting, longtime rivals guy, who gives us insight on football recruiting, does a lot of analysis, you know, that kind of gives people an idea of what you can expect from players. On the August 3rd edition of the Farrell Report, he talks about some of the guys who have committed to Illinois in the 2023 class from the offensive side of the ball. So that should be a real interesting one to catch. You'll be able to get that tomorrow. So please go to IlliniGuys.com. You can subscribe there, $99 a year. Make sure you go back to the message board forums where you can argue with Matt and Ked about their opinions on football and basketball and whatever other sports, along with myself, Brad, and, you know, a ton of fans who are on there talking about Illini sports. A lot of arguing, but we all unify around our love of the Illini. And, you know, we just want you to be a part of that community as well. So we would love to have you do that. And, of course, you have until August 8th to sign up for the first annual Illini Guys golf outing, which will be held on Friday, August 26th. And that will be at the Adkins Golf Course. And so it is beautiful. Just been redone. Obviously, it'll be the home of the Fighting Illini golf team. And it is just a spectacular golf course. So you want to come have fun. That would be a perfect place to do that. All you have to do is sign up, go to our website. So with that, I'd like to thank Matt Stevens for pulling off the interstate, driving back home from covering the Fighting Illini today. And thank Kedrick Prince for, you know, taking a few moments out of his evening to give you this report. And we will be back later in the week. Thank you very much for listening, and go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.